This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode 165 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
And I'm John.
So this week, we only 3 days since we last recorded.
Yeah.
Essentially, I mean, we recorded Sunday, it's Thursday, so we had 3 nights to watch stuff. So mostly this week, we're talking about movies coming out through the rest of the year and just wherever the conversation leads.
That's news to me.
There you go. See? The only show I actually did watch this week. Oh, yeah, I think I forgot to talk about the Chernobyl finale last week. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. It was good. Oh, I did talk about it. Okay.
Yep.
The only show I ended up watching was I decided to check out Fleabag. You gave us such like a hard, like, if I remember correctly, you said basically like her and other people there, they're like, she's a piece of shit.
Yes.
And then the ending took a hard twist that you didn't see coming.
The ending of the first season.
First season. So I had the opposite feeling.
Really?
So I started watching it just because I wanted to see what you were talking about.
Okay.
And they're only 25-minute episodes, and they go by like that. So I actually watched all 12 episodes in like 3 nights, basically.
Yep. I've got about 10 under my belt.
And I don't take her for like a piece of shit. Like I would rate, say, the girls from You're the Worst.
Really?
Or Broad City.
Okay.
I would rate she made a poor choice and she did a bad thing that I think is a shitty thing.
Yeah.
By she slept with her best friend's boyfriend.
Right.
And then her best friend decided the best plan of attack to get her boyfriend back was to jump in front of a bike and get hurt, so she had to come. So that he had to go visit her at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, Fleabag, Flea, whatever, she is in a horrific place mentally because of the guilt she's suffering.
Yeah,
and I don't think she's a piece of shit. I just think she's in a really bad way mentally, and that she's making lots of poor choices.
Okay. One thing that I noticed you forgot to mention was that, you know, her friend decided that she would step in front of a bike and actually stepped in front of a vehicle and got killed.
Right.
So her friend is dead.
Well, I said her friend's dead and she blames herself for that.
Yeah.
But her friend said her plan was to step in front of a bike and then stepped in front of a vehicle. Yes.
But the reason that the main character there, Fleabag, is so guilt-stricken is because she literally slept with this guy just because she could, just because she wanted to, because he was a piece of meat that was sitting there. She didn't give two shits about the fact that he was dating her friend. She was like, fuck it, I want that dick in me.
See,
so she got that dick in her.
See, I didn't get that because I don't think they gave us enough context as of how they ended up sleeping together.
It was very subtle, yes, and they didn't even reveal it until the very end why... You know, we knew the whole season.
We don't know. Were they drunk? Did he make the first move? Did she really make the first move? We don't know the context of anything.
We don't know the specifics, but they led it up to be that she made the first move.
Well,
he was just kind of sitting there, and she, like, started making eyes at him, and then she started undoing his belt, and she
started pulling his pants down. Were they both drunk? Did he say inappropriate? Were they talking inappropriately? I mean, like, to me, I'm not condoning what she did, because I don't condone anyone that cheats with anyone. I think that does make you a piece of shit for doing it, because it's a choice you make.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't think they gave enough context for us to make a decision of...
Well...
If she just did it because she wanted to and fuck her friend. Like, I don't care about you.
She's feeling guilty enough.
Well, she's feeling guilty because her friend is dead.
Yeah.
Because her friend ended up killing herself over it.
Over this thing that she did.
This has wrecked her so bad mentally and emotionally that she is incapable of making very good decisions.
I don't think she was capable of making very good decisions.
I don't see her making shitty decisions like we see on the other show. I can't even think of
their name. You're
like, the worst? Like Lindsay and Gretchen and Lindsay. Yeah, I don't see their, I don't see her making the decisions like she did, and they don't delve into her mental health like they do Gretchen. So, like, you almost give Gretchen a pass because they talk so much about her mental health. Right. Whereas in this, they don't with Fleas, but clearly she's having some very bad mental health issues.
Oh, absolutely.
Because in the second season, she's nothing like she was in the first season.
No, she, it's almost like that year separated, which cleaned her up a bit.
I thought it was hilarious that from season one to season two, it was like 371 days, 19 hours, and 27 seconds or something like that.
Yeah, so it's like 1 year. Right. 6 days and
but
they they hit the ground running in the second season.
Well, in the second season, I mean, like, okay, her sister, again, her sister is in a place where she's with this guy that she clearly doesn't want to be with, and she's afraid to get out of the relationship, and she's hanging her hat on, well, there's this his son who's got some mental health issues.
He's creepy.
Yeah, he is wicked creepy.
And she always calls him that, like Creepy Jake or whatever.
Yeah, she feels, she basically would feel guilty if she left him. And her husband, who's American, is a piece of shit. I mean, he's an alcoholic douche fucking turd.
He's a great actor, though. I love
him. Yes, absolutely. But
Brett Gelman.
Yeah, but the characters on this show are not clean. They're not by any means. And then you have their dad, whose wife died, and he's in a very fragile state of mind. And this woman kind of latches onto him, which she clearly must love him because Olivia Colman is awesome in this show, really. I mean, the character she's playing as the shitty stepmom or godmother, and like, she is the most unlikable person I'm watching on TV right now.
While being pleasant about it.
That's why it's so bad.
Because it's Olivia Colman and she has that giant smile and those eyes that just light up.
And she's
telling
just,
you to fuck off.
Right. And she's like, oh, saying such nice things like, oh, you're such a piece of shit. And such a nice, happy voice with a big smile. And, like when she invites Flea to the sex gallery opening and puts a name tag on her and gives her a tray.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love
and the dad rolls with it. You know? He's like, don't make a scene.
Yeah, and then I love how it follows up at her wedding in the next season when she's like, come talk to me. And she goes into the kitchen with her. She goes, do you need extra help?
Yeah, exactly.
I think I like the second season better than the first season.
See, oh, absolutely. But I don't see her as loving the father.
Yeah.
I see her as latching onto him, like you said.
Yes, yes,
but
absolutely.
I don't see love there because, I mean, look at when Flea brought over that guy and she just literally, like, in front of him sat there and she's like, you're beautiful. Yeah. I mean, you're very beautiful. You are lovely. You are so handsome. Like, she didn't make any kind of bones about it, and she had that wall of dicks at her art exposition.
Oh, God.
See if you can find your father.
And she points to it and she's like, yep, that's it. And walks off and Flea's like, oh. I do like how she breaks the fourth wall
a lot.
I think Flea's character, and maybe it's because I watched all 6 episodes in rapid succession and then watched the second, like in 3 days I watched all 12.
Yeah,
so maybe that's why, like, I don't have that same effect you did from her character because I absorbed it all so much.
Yeah,
and I saw the redemption she goes through in in the second season.
Yep.
Wait till you watch the last 2 episodes.
The priest is not a typical priest.
Moriarty from Sherlock. I can't think of his name. Andrew Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love him.
Love him.
He is so good. But yeah, he's a very drinky, potty mouth priest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when her ex-boyfriend comes up and he's got the baby and the baby Bjorn, and he goes, oh, the semen. The guy goes, the priest goes, yeah, I don't know how to talk to babies.
Yeah. Yes. I love it.
Like instead of being sweet.
I don't know how to talk to babies. Yeah. 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 No, it's I actually enjoyed the show.
Oh, I do too.
I actually enjoy. I like it when the priest is trying to talk to her and Flea's doing that thing where she looks like at the camera and talks something, and he goes, "Where'd you go?"
It's like you disappeared for a minute.
Like a first couple episodes, like the first few times, he's like, "Where did you just go? What do you mean? Where did you just go? Just looks like you disappeared." And then later on, she turns and looks and like says something, and then he looks at the camera like, "Hey, like, what are you looking at?"
Yep.
But. It's kind of funny.
Fourth wall breaking gets so rapid fire that unless you're actually watching the screen, you don't even realize it. But then when you watch her, like, sometimes it's just like little subtle ones. And she'll say the same thing twice. You know, she'll like look at the camera and go, yes, father, with like a little raise of her eyebrows. And then turns back to him and goes, yes, father.
It's like in the – is it the first episode of the second season when they're all going to dinner?
Yes.
Okay. And she – with, like you said, rapid fire, is having conversations with everybody, but looking at the camera and talking to us mm-hmm. in the camera, and then looking back, and you're right, unless you're watching, you wouldn't know if she's who she's talking to.
Right.
But I don't know. I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah, very first episode of the second season, you know, they're finally meeting up. Yep. Her and her sister haven't talked in all this time, and Brett Gelman there, you know, hasn't talked. And her sister, you know, they're talking about, oh, we're trying to have a baby, and yeah. And you know, he's supposedly sober, but he's going up and sneaking drinks from the waitress.
Yeah.
He's a piece of shit.
Oh, big time.
And then her sister goes in the bathroom, and she's like, you know, oh, I need a tampon. She's like, just roll up some paper towels. She opens up, that's not a period. And she's like, no, it's a miscarriage. And she's like, let me help you. She's like, it's mine. And like, yeah. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is the first episode.
Yeah. That being said, like you said, in that first episode where that story kind of goes on through the season, as far as, because Flea takes credit for the miscarriage for whatever weird reason she does.
And she still wants to protect her sister.
They have that whole scene where like the boyfriend's like, oh, you know, it's like a fish in a fishbowl. Oh. Sometimes they don't want to be in it. What a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And he punches her in the face. She punches him in the face twice. And then
the priest ends up getting punched in the face when he tries to like stop things from happening. Cause then he punches, you know, Brett there punches her in the face.
Yes.
And then she goes to haul back and hits the priest in the face, and everybody's just getting cold caught.
And then the waitress runs over and like Brett pulls back and hits her in the face.
Needy waitress.
Yes. Very needy waitress. But she says that, like, oh, her cafe is actually doing quite successful. Oh, it's doing really good. Oh, sure it is. Sure it is. And then her sister shows up and is busy as hell. She's like, what's going on?
Yeah, she's like, what's happening here? What's going on? Like, she doesn't.
Like, are you having an event?
Yes.
No, this is just, it's just Chatty Wednesday or whatever it is.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Well, you have to talk to somebody you don't know. Like, if they buy something. And so this guy comes, how's it going? She's like, nope, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. No, I just, like, where are you from? Like, I'm not going to answer that. And she's like, Kyle, she didn't buy anything. He goes, oh, fuck, sorry. Yeah. But it's, second season got way better.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it a lot.
And I'm actually looking forward to the third season.
Me too.
So,
yep, it's a good show.
That's really all the TV I watched this week. Did you watch anything else you want to bring up?
So you did not watch Good Omens?
No, we went to, I had...
I know it was only 3 days.
But. Yeah, but like Monday night would have been the only night I could really watch anything of context. When I ended up going to bed early. And then Tuesday we went to the concert and saw Death Cab for Cutie, which was excellent. And then Wednesday I had a double. I worked till 11 o'clock last night, so I finished like the last two episodes of last night.
Gotcha. The only other TV that I watched this week is I was at work, and Hulu's the easiest thing for me to watch because I can keep my phone straight up, and it'll just portray across the top of the screen. I don't everything else like Netflix
everything
and Amazon
automatically
have to
rotates.
Turn to the
yeah.
Side. So I was looking through Hulu, and they had a new show that just premiered called The In-Between.
Oh, on NBC, I do want to check that out.
I've watched the first episode. It's actually not half bad.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like supernatural type stuff.
Yeah, she basically, she has premonition dreams, and she also sees dead people. And they talk to her and interact with her. Like,
yeah, that's actually
Hewitt, Whispers.
That's actually one thing I'm actually curious to check out.
Yeah.
My assumption is it'll get canceled. It's NBC, and it sounds cool.
And it's summertime.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm sure it'll get canceled. But, yeah, I actually enjoyed the first episode. There's at least two out there now. There might be
a
third
couple out there, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching the rest of it.
Nice.
I don't know if it's her dad or her stepdad or what, but it's the Captain Lance from Arrow.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Paul Blackthorne.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I like
him. I
can't
think of his name, but.
He was Harry Dresden on the Harry Dresden show before that. But, yeah, I like him. But he gets to do his full English accent, you know, his natural English accent. So,
isn't it weird when you watch like House?
Yep.
Like, I know Hugh Laurie has an English accent and watch it on House, but like when you find out someone has one that you didn't even know had one.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So.
And of course, there's always the famous Hugh Laurie story of how he got House.
Yes.
Because he wasn't supposed to be British.
Right.
Because David Shore was like, if I hear one more fucking British guy in here trying to affect an American accent, I'm just going to lose my shit. And Hugh Laurie heard that and went, And then went in there with his perfect English accent. He goes, finally, somebody from America. You're hired. And he's like, well, then.
That's a stewy voice. I got a bunch of trailers and new stuff to talk about. Do you want to talk about new stuff or trailers?
I got trailers, news, and I did watch one movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't think of a movie. What'd you watch?
I watched that Netflix movie, I Am Mother.
Oh, how was it?
It was okay.
Okay. So, trailers.
Yep.
I sent you a couple.
Yep.
At the end here.
You sent me one that I know of.
I sent you two.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh.
I sent you The Art of Self-Defense and the Banana Splits movie.
Okay, I didn't see The Art of Self-Defense, but I have watched that one already.
All right. So The Art of Self-Defense,
oh, yeah, there it is.
It's a dark comedy starring Jesse Eisenberg and Alessandro Nivola. Imogene Poots. Comes out July 12th. Casey's a mild-mannered accountant who, after being attacked by a motorcycle gang, decides to take up martial arts in order to better protect himself. All right, that's the synopsis premise on here. That's nothing that the trailer depicted.
Nope.
He's basically like Pussy McPussy, who's yep. afraid of everything and everyone, and takes up martial arts because he doesn't want to be this way anymore.
Right.
And then it seems to take a dark twist near the end, and it looks fantastic, though.
Yeah, it's definitely a black comedy, but yes. Yeah, it looks interesting. I imagine it won't come out in theaters around here, except for maybe Railroad Square. And we won't see it until it's, like, on Redbox or something.
Right, yeah. It won't be out here. I wouldn't expect it to be. Like, no. Booksmart.
Yeah.
But that looks great.
Yep. It does.
So the Banana Splits movie I talked about a while ago, it's a horror film based on the 1969-1971 TV show.
I was so disappointed that when you sent it to me,
yeah.
it was the Green Band trailer, and it said that it was rated R for blood.
Yes, it's got an MPA rating of R for gore and violence. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a Red Band trailer for it yet, but basically this kid loves the show. His parents get him tickets to go to the show. They go to watch it, but in the meantime, they decide to cancel the show. And apparently that Banana Splits don't like that. Comes out, I don't know, it's supposed to come out on Blu-ray and digital. And
yeah.
then later on it will air on Sci-Fi, and an edited version of it will.
Yeah.
I really want to check this out. Because they're using like the Banana Splits. Like, it's not like a spoof. It's the actual Banana Splits characters, the music. Car, the music, you know, the tra-la-la, la-la-la-la. Mm-hmm. So like I really do want to check this out quite a bit, actually.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. They released the teaser from Three from Hell. Comes out sometime this year. It's the third part in the Rob Zombie. First was House of a Thousand Corpses, and then The Devil's Rejects, and now this one. I didn't care for House of a Thousand Corpses. I thought it was a poor man's Texas Chainsaw Massacre mm-hmm. ripoff. I actually like The Devil's Rejects.
Mm.
Thought that was pretty good. I have not been a fan of most of anything Rob Zombie's done, save his version of Halloween 1.
Yes.
Which that was very good.
And then his wife said, I want to be in the second one.
As he went, far okay, other end of the spectrum as you can fucking make it, the second one was.
Yeah.
And then pretty much everything else he's done hasn't been that great. But I
haven't watched any of his garbage.
I did like The Devil's Rejects, so...
I've never watched that one or The House of a Thousand Corpses or any of his other stuff other than the Halloween.
Well, The House of a Thousand Corpses, I remember when I first heard about that, like the trailer they showed was like these people in biohazard suits, like digging up, like they're unearthing this ground and it was at night and it was kind of raining and it looked kind of really like cool and bleak and neat or whatever. I don't know. But then like it didn't even come out for like 3 or 4 more years later. I mean, it's like it was stuck in production hell or something like that. And
he had to beg on the street corner to get enough money to produce it.
I don't know. But and then when it finally came out, I'm like, this is nothing like the teaser trailer show. You know?
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, it came out in 2003, which is very, you know, old, I guess. But I really like to know when it started. Like, when they started filming it and everything. Like, because I remember, like I said, it kept getting pushed back and pushed back, pushed back. And it seemed like it took forever for it to finally come out.
Right.
So, anyhow. So, I saw that trailer, teaser trailer. It didn't really give away much. It just showed the three characters and they do fucked up shit. What else would you watch for trailers?
The only one that I've got there other than... what you mentioned. Well, I sent you Escape Plan, The Extractors.
Yes, that looks better than Escape Plan 2. Doesn't good still, yeah, but it looks better than Escape Plan 2 was.
I kept waiting for the part where it looked good, and then
it didn't happen.
It was done. Yeah. And then, of course, today they released the first trailer for Dr. Sleep.
Looks good, doesn't it?
A sequel to The Shining.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor is the kid from The Shining, all grown up.
Yep.
And he's having some issues, and he meets somebody else who says, "You're magic like me." And he's like, "I always called it The Shining." And he says that he's met a few other people like him, but they were all killed.
And yeah.
It looks pretty twisted. And
yeah, there's essentially the story is that there's these beings or whatever it is, because there's this people that feed upon, they call themselves the True Nod, I guess, and they feed upon the powers that, like, Danny and this girl has. Danny Torrance is a character from the little boy or whatever. So the trailer looked really good. I mean, people loved the book.
Yeah.
When it came out 7 years ago, people loved the book, so... there's a lot of Stephen King stuff that's come out or is coming out this year.
Yeah, I just saw a headline that now Stephen King wants Netflix to remake Under the Dome.
Cool.
They couldn't do any worse.
They really couldn't. Maybe they could do better.
Other than that, all the trailers that I saw this week were because E3 was happening and there were just a shit ton of great video game trailers. But that's been my week.
Did you see
a couple of news articles?
Did you see the trailer for Pennyworth?
No, I heard about it, but I didn't watch it.
It's basically Batman's butler.
I don't have trust in DC right now.
I know.
And that's on what? Epics?
Epic, yeah.
So, it's like, apparently they did a screener of the first episode of Krypton for season 2, and Lobo's in it, and people lost their shit, and they're like, "Oh my god, he's so good, oh, he's so great, oh, Lobo," and he's already getting a spinoff show on sci-fi.
Oh, I heard about that, yeah.
But, who cares?
I don't have much faith in DC right now.
I don't trust them right now.
I was talking to the other day. I brought up the fact they thought, you know, like, do you think that they had read an article that basically someone was freelancing that the rate DC's cinematic universe and television properties are going, save the CW shows, because they're really not part of it. It could financially ruin the company.
Wow.
But they're owned by giant AT&T, so...
Yeah, I was going to say, it can't, because DC is part of Warner Brothers, which is not going under, which was just bought by AT&T, which isn't going anywhere.
However, if that division is just losing money,
they'll fold it.
They could put the kibosh on it.
Oh, yeah, they'll fold that division. They'll stick to the comic books, because the comic books are doing well.
Are they, though? They've revamped every year, practically. They revamp so often now.
Doing well with Doomsday Clock, basically explaining why they've been revamping so much.
Well,
they'll still revamp again, but
right now I'm reading Superman, not the action comics, but Superman. Brian Michael Bendis is writing Superman. I'm loving his story. They just doing the Event Leviathan, and
ties into Supergirl.
Yes. And I got the prequel issue, which was like $10. I didn't realize it at the time.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like a mini graphic novel. Did you ever see Action Comics 1000 or Dark Knight 1000 or Dead Hand? It's that size comic.
Okay.
And it's like $10. Anyway, it was great though. It was actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the first issue. I went and picked up my comics today. I got the first issue of the Event of Leviathan. And actually, Superman issue 12, I think, as well. So I'm looking forward to reading that. But I have really enjoyed this run of Superman because he did a mini run back a while ago, which he did like 6 issues of. I don't know if it was Man of Steel or whatever it was, and I liked it a lot. And so I started getting the monthly book, and I don't regret it. But I haven't heard a lot of great things about the other titles. I mean, everyone's going to buy Batman. Everyone's going to buy Superman. But, like, Marvel's lesser titles, quote-unquote, are still doing exceptionally well. Probably a lot because of the cinematic universe. Mm. Whereas DC's, quote-unquote, lesser titles don't seem to be doing as well.
Yeah.
mean, you can't run a comic company with just Batman and Superman.
Sure.
Well, I guess you probably can.
Wonder Woman. Don't forget Wonder Woman.
Yes, Wonder Woman as well. So I watched the trailer. You should watch it.
It's Pennyworth?
Just to watch the trailer itself. It's the version of Alfred like they kind of gave us in Gotham.
But before that,
yes. Where he's like when Thomas Wayne was young and
not even married.
Bruce wasn't even a thing. He wasn't born yet. Apparently Alfred was more than just a mild-mannered butler.
Well, yeah, he had all that history and the service and everything.
Right.
He was a kick-ass guy.
Yeah. Well, they really explore that here. Some TV release dates to talk about.
Okay.
Jessica Jones, season 3, this Friday. It's canceled, we know.
I still haven't even watched the most recent season of Punisher.
Really?
Yeah.
It was good.
I'm sure it was, but... I never think, oh, I should watch Punisher. You know, I'm bored or I'm like, hey, I want to get into something new. And I never think that. Same thing with Jessica Jones. Like, it's canceled. I know I'm not going to get any more episodes. So I'm not really in a rush to watch either one of them, I guess.
Fair enough. I kind of like Deadly Class. I kind of wanted to check it out, but now that I know it's been canceled, I'm like, oh, well.
I deleted the last 2 episodes off my DVR.
Yeah. Black Spot, that French show I was talking about, that I watched the first episode and I really enjoyed it. And I said, there's a season 2 supposed to come out this year in France. I don't know when we'll see it. Friday on Netflix, apparently. The whole season 2 will be put up.
Hmm. All right.
This Saturday night, returning to Nickelodeon is All That.
Nice.
Did you ever watch that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So apparently the new president of Nickelodeon is a co-creator of All That.
Uh-huh.
And apparently, his opinion was All That never should have been canceled. That should have been their version of Saturday Night Live with a rotating cast of new kids and this and that.
I absolutely agree.
One of the first things he did was bring it back. And Kenan and Cal are executive producing it.
Nice.
And Lori Beth Denberg and Josh, someone else, are supposed to be making like cameo appearances here and there.
I even heard that they're doing a pop-up Good Burger store.
Yep.
Somewhere probably in California.
Probably.
As a promotional tool for that as well.
Also, Are You Afraid of the Dark is coming back. Not this week, but this fall sometime. So I liked Are You Afraid of the Dark when I was a kid. I don't know if it'll be as good now for me, but I like those anthology shows. Black Mirror was a disappointment this season. Slasher, this third season of Slasher, I can't even bring myself to watch the second episode.
Really?
Yeah. I've tried a couple of times. Episode 1 of the season was such a letdown that it was not a letdown, but just kind of like it's not very good. So I haven't. Anyhow, Stranger Things, season 3, July 4th. Mm-hmm. And then July 26th is a big day streaming wise. The Boys on Amazon. Orange is the New Black on Netflix. And then Veronica Mars season 4 on Hulu, which I didn't even know was going to be a thing.
Yep. Yeah, it was weird. It's one of those quirky little shows, kind of like a Firefly type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, where they got 2 seasons and then I think, they got a 3rd season and then they kind of got canceled, but everybody loved them so much. And then out of the blue, years later, they got a movie. And people were like, whoa. And now years later again, they're going to have a 4th season.
Yeah, what was it? Season 1, 2004, season 2, 2005, season 3, 2006, season 4, 2019.
See, one of the problems that they ran into.
Which is crazy to think about, and then the movie came out in 2013.
Yeah. One of the things that kind of hurt them was the fact that, you know, in the first season, she was in high school.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was solving a big mystery that happened in her town while she was still in high school. So trying to balance school and everything. And then once she moved on to college, it kind of fell apart. It was like, it wasn't as magical anymore.
Right.
So.
But, I don't know. We'll see. I had no idea season 4 was even coming.
Yeah. They sprung it up several months ago. It might have even been a year ago that they popped it up and they were like, yeah, it's coming. So good for Kristen Bell.
Yeah. Some, I guess, movies that are coming out.
Yeah.
Do you notice, like, this year doesn't feel like a big summer movie like it has in the last few years? And I think it has a lot to do with, like, Avengers coming out in April and in May. You know, it's not the summer, it's spring.
Yeah, but remember, I mean, it's June 13th, you know, we're barely into summer.
Right, but...
We've still got Spider-Man Far From Home.
Maybe there's just not a lot of movies coming out that I care about then.
That's probably
Maybe that's more...
I mean, Toy Story 4
yeah.
is out, or it's coming right out.
Right, this week, I think, yeah. or next week or something.
It's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
I'm sure that's going to be excellent.
Yeah. Toy Story 1 and 2 each had 100%. Toy Story 3 had a 98%. Don't know why. Probably because it was so friggin' sad at the end.
Probably.
But now Toy Story 4 has got 100%. Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how good those movies are. Since when you think about it, I mean, can you name, like, 4 movies that have been that critically acclaimed? Well, no, not even everyone agrees on Star Wars. Like, nope. I don't hear anyone say, oh, Toy Story's dumb. It's not good.
No. Everybody likes Toy Story.
People like, not they don't just like it, they love it.
Yep.
First one written by Joss Whedon.
Mm-hmm.
Should go to show you something right there. So I got some movie release dates. Again, like I said, it doesn't feel like a huge summer movie blockbuster type thing for me. But again, it could just be because there's not a lot I'm looking forward to seeing.
Right.
Well, this Friday, June 14th, which will have already happened by the time this comes out, I'm realizing now.
Yep.
The Dead Don't Die. I've heard some people like, oh, I don't care about this. I don't know. It looks good to me. The trailer looks funny.
Anytime I see Bill Murray in a movie,
yeah.
I automatically know that it's going to be weird. Like,
yes.
He's the type of guy who refuses to do something unless he can put his own spin on it.
Yes.
And his own spin is usually fairly bizarre, fairly weird. So, I don't know. I'm not going to go to the theater to see it, I don't think, but... I'll check it out.
I doubt this is even going to be available for us to go to Regal or something. It'd be like Booksmart, you know, yeah. little theater. But I don't know. I just, something about the trailer. I like it. Looks good to me. I like a lot of the people that are in it.
Yes.
July 2nd, Spider-Man Far From Home. I'm very excited about this.
I am as well.
That's a Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's weird, right?
Yep.
Okay. I wonder if July 1st it's going to be in theaters then, like that early preview thing like they do, or if they're just going to wait for July 2nd or it's already coming out on a Tuesday.
Maybe.
July 12th, Stuber. Did you see the Red Band trailer that they released for that? This looks fantastic. Like, I can't think of I know Batista, the other guy's name.
Kumail Nanjiani.
Okay, thank you. When I saw those two were going to be in a movie about, it's like, okay, great, whatever. That looks awesome. Like, it's a buddy. It's one of those, you know, like fish out of water buddy movies.
Yeah.
You know, like Jackie Chan and either Owen Wilson or Chris Tucker. Or,
mm-hmm. I heard they're trying to make a fourth Rush Hour.
Yeah, well, I've heard that for a long time now. You know, and a third Shanghai Noon, Shanghai Nights. It's supposed to be called Shanghai something. I don't know.
Dawn?
Yes, actually, probably. Yeah, so who knows? I'm not putting too much faith into it.
No.
But this Stuber looks like a mild-mannered Uber driver named Stu picks up Vic, a grizzled detective who's on the trail of a sadistic, bloodthirsty terrorist. Stu soon finds himself thrust in a harrowing ordeal where he has to keep his wits, avoid danger, and work with his passenger while maintaining his high customer service rating. Like, that sounds stupid, almost.
Normally, yes.
Yeah, you know, like, that premise is like, all right, whatever, who cares? And then you watch and you're like, oh my god, this looks fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and hilarious. Like, I would go to the theaters to watch this. Type of funny.
Absolutely.
So.
I'll check that one out.
July 26th, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah. Quentin Tarantino flick. I'm excited about it.
Have you heard recently he's been ranting and raving about how he's making an R-rated Star Trek movie?
That's not recently. That's been talk for a couple of years now.
Well, now he's got the now he's backing it up, and he's saying, "Yeah, it's coming." Now that he's done with his Once Upon a Time in Hollywood,
yeah,
he's really pushing this.
Yeah,
they've even talked to William Shatner about it.
Right.
Yeah,
I've heard about it.
Yeah.
They've been talking about it for many years.
Okay, then I guess I'm just an asshole.
No. It's just one of those things.
No, like... I'm the asshole. That's all right, Mike. I'm the asshole.
Okay. What have you like? Heard besides talking
about I've just seen a couple of stories pop up about it recently.
I didn't think it was supposed to be in canon with the new Star Trek movies.
I don't think it is. I think it's its own
thing. That was the only thing I had heard was for, that's why they were okay with doing it.
Yeah, well, they're still not okay with doing it. He really wants to do it, but the studio is pushing back.
If you think about all the movies that he's done, like, he's done the blaxploitation flick with Jackie
Black
Brown.
Klansman.
No, that was Spike Lee.
Oh, yeah, that was Spike Lee.
With Jackie Brown, years ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, all the, like, this is his ninth movie, and
what was that? Anyway.
It was Pam Grier.
Yeah.
Stewardess. Anyways, drug smuggling stewardess, but it was in the 90s, so it was like before. Anyways,
right.
Well, like every flick he's done basically has been an homage to like an old genre, like you don't see anymore, like war movie, western,
right,
or western, Django or whatever. I'm not surprised to see he wants to do like a space movie.
Yeah,
because that's the only thing he really hasn't done yet.
But everything that he's done has kind of been his own original creation.
Right.
I mean, with the exception of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, based on real events, you know. Or yeah. Django's kind of based on real type stuff.
It's almost kind of a remake of another movie called Django.
Right.
Unchained.
Right.
Or Django, I mean. So, like, but you're right. He puts his own spin on it. So
why would he take a known, you know, like Star Trek?
Right.
Why would he take something that is well known and kind of has nothing to do with him? And granted,
that's an exceptionally valid point.
We've got the Star Trek Discovery, which is you know, bloodier and not R rated, but it's
definitely more adult oriented.
They drop
some F-bombs
and stuff. Yeah. I don't know.
But to continue, like what you were just saying, you're right to have him do like a Star Trek, or like you said, a known entity property is kind of odd, as opposed to him doing his own version of like a space opera,
right?
Yeah.
Like, he did Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2, you know, as a spin on revenge samurai movies, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
And so why would he take a big... It just doesn't make sense to me. But whatever, we'll see.
But I could definitely see him... I guess the point I'm going with is I definitely could see him doing some sort of space movie,
mm-hmm.
just because it's the only genre he hasn't really tackled yet.
Has he done a romance?
Didn't he do a movie called True Romance?
Was that him?
He wrote it, but he didn't direct it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's
what it was. It seemed him-ish, but it was a little weird. It was very weird. Christian Slater, Patricia Arquette.
Yeah, it was a Tony Scott film written by Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, so I don't know if we could still call it that.
I don't think you could, no. Because it's not one of his movies, quote-unquote.
Right.
Yeah. Huh. It is kind of weird, though. Like, he is very well-known and famous and et cetera, but he's only directed 10 movies. He starred in some.
Right.
You know.
He usually stars in... Well, he doesn't always star in the ones that he directs, but... Like, I'm thinking of... From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah. Where he acted in that. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Jackie Brown, Kill Bill, Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Sin City. He had, he directed a scene in Sin City, and he directed a segment in Four Rooms.
Okay.
You know, Grindhouse, Death Proof. You know, that was his homage to Grindhouse films.
Yeah.
Inglourious Basterds, Django Unchained, The Hateful Eight. I like The Hateful Eight quite a bit, actually. But I don't know. Like I said, I can see him doing a space movie. I just don't know what it would be. And like you're saying, it doesn't make sense that it's a known property like Star Trek.
Right.
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, August 8th.
Yep.
You read those books.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody did.
Are you going to go see it at the theater, wait for it to come out on home video?
I'll
maybe
wait.
Not even watch it at all?
Yeah, no. If anything, I'll wait for it to come out on, you know, like Netflix or something like that.
The Kitchen, same day.
And again... I like the concept, but it's going to be really hard to watch a movie with Melissa McCarthy and not have her be a comic.
Yeah.
Same thing with Tiffany Haddish, honestly, if I'm looking at it that way. You know, Elizabeth Moss, she's more of a dramatic actress anyway, so it's fine. But those two, everything that they've ever done has been, like, comedy-based. So.
It Chapter 2 comes out September 6th.
See, I thought it was going to be closer to October.
Me too, but I remember seeing it in September in Vermont when I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
We're on vacation, but we always go away like second weekend of September, typically. I remember seeing it then, so. Rambo 5, September 20th.
Yeah. You'll go see it, I know.
Oh, I will. I'm just saying this to say it. The Joker flick comes out in October.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, and somebody actually said, they said, you know, everybody thought that Jack Nicholson was the best Joker until Heath Ledger came along. And now Heath Ledger is considered the best Joker. But it's looking like that's going to be taken away from him with this new Joaquin Phoenix movie. And I couldn't believe that they were saying that.
Like, who was saying such horseshit?
I don't remember. It was one of my podcasts that I was listening to, and I was dumbfounded. I thought, why would you even say that? We've only seen one trailer. No, the real trailer.
Well, they released that teaser that looked like that we both were like, I would never go see this movie, no matter what it is.
And then they release a trailer, and you know, the whole thing is, oh, well, they're making him look like a sympathetic character, and he loves his mom, and fuck right off.
I think the greatest Joker. Part of the Heath Ledger Joker was that he didn't have a backstory. Mm. He was just there. He told us many different stories as to how he got the scars on his face.
Yeah.
But
he was just a force of chaos.
Yes.
And that was...
That's who the Joker is and always has been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely not Jared Leto.
No. October 18th, the Maleficent Mistress of Evil comes out.
That's going to be interesting.
I liked the first one, surprisingly,
yeah,
a lot.
Yep.
Watching the trailer for this one, though, I wasn't very keen on it.
I think that the first one came out, and they wanted to tell her story, and they did, and that was it. And this one feels more like a cash grab, basically.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, we've got this character that we've established. Let's put her in something. We don't need that.
Right. Speaking of cash grab, that same day, Zombieland 2 Double Tap comes out.
So here's the thing.
Zombieland, I didn't even know this was happening.
Zombieland was great.
Yes.
We all agree. It was awesome.
Yes.
Then Amazon tried to create a TV series out of it with the same characters but different actors.
Yeah.
It was garbage.
Yes.
It got canceled before it even aired.
Basically.
It was just terrible.
Yeah.
And now they're bringing back the same actors for the same roles in Zombieland 2. But again, it's one of these things, a decade, 2 decades since we've had this movie.
I remember you and I went and saw it in the theater. 2009, yeah, a decade, 2009.
I guess that's not terrible, but it's also one of those, there's another one that's coming out recently that's the same kind of thing. It's like, it hasn't been around forever, and now suddenly they're giving us a sequel, and why? I'm sure it'll be fun. They're probably going to repeat a lot of jokes.
Is this going to take place 10 years later? Because
I think so.
I think Breslin was 12 in the first one.
Yeah.
Now she's 22.
Yeah.
You can't make her look 14.
Well, have you seen her?
Yeah, that's true. Fair enough.
She's got a very youthful face.
She does. This November, Terminator Dark Fate comes out.
Still not sold on it.
Neither am I.
They're already doing tie-ins, though, with video games and stuff, so.
Did you see that Spider-Man got ruined by the toy? Did you hear
Which
about
one?
That yet?
I've seen a bunch of, like, Lego toys and stuff like that, and they've talked about Hydro-Man and Molten Man and...
Nope.
Green Goblin was in one of the toys, one of the Lego toys.
Yeah, no, what's the one I'm thinking of?
Is it a villain?
Yes, Jake Gyllenhaal's character.
Mysterio.
God, I couldn't think of it for some reason. It was a mystery to me. On the toy for Mysterio, it says the arch nemesis of Spider-Man.
I mean, if you look at all history, it's pretty much. He's always been a foil of Spider-Man's, but yeah.
So, I didn't realize they were making this movie. I'm actually kind of excited about when I found out about it. It comes out in November, right around Veterans Day. Midway. They're remaking Midway.
Really?
Yes, starring Woody Harrelson, Luke Evans, Mandy Moore, Patrick Wilson, and others. Of course, it's about the Battle of Midway in the Pacific Theater for World War II. It's been a while since we've had a good, like, classic war flick.
Dunkirk?
That was, what, last year? Fuck. Okay, you're right. All right, so it's just...
Glorious Bastards?
Anyhow, it feels like it's been a while, but I'm wrong about that. No, I'm actually kind of excited about it. most World War II movies take place in Europe.
Yep.
This is in Japan. That's why I really liked Sands of Iwo Jima and Flags of Our Father. You know, Sands of Iwo Jima and Flags of Our Father were companion movies, which we both had showed the kind of the Pacific Theater. But this Midway movie that they're making, other than Pearl Harbor abysmalness from years ago, but the Midway movie, it just looks really good. No trailer or anything yet, but just kind of excited about it based on the stills I saw and everything.
Do you realize how humorous it sounds when you say, I mean, most World War II movies take place in Europe.
Right. That's where, well, but I'm just saying, we don't see a lot of movies that take place to show the Battle of the Japanese.
Oh, we don't see any that take place in America.
Because there weren't any.
Right.
Other than Pearl Harbor.
Right.
But what I just meant,
there wasn't, I mean, there was, but there was not nearly as much in World War II.
I realize the majority of the fighting was in Europe. I get that.
Right.
And in, you know, Italy and France and
all part of
Germany and everything. Like, you know, I realize the majority of the fighting was in that section of the
That's
of
why
the
it just world. Sounded funny when you said that. You're like, boy, so many of these movies are in Europe. Well, with the source material.
It'd be like seeing all these Vietnam War movies happening in Vietnam. You think they'd branch out?
Except, you know, my dad, who would always say that he was a Vietnam War vet, never went to Vietnam. Went to Turkey.
Yeah.
Hung out there.
My stepfather was a Vietnam War veteran. Never left the country.
America?
Yeah. But he was in the Marines during Vietnam.
Yeah.
I mean, so. Yeah.
I've never had to go to any kind of war, so.
You're not a veteran at all.
I don't get to talk about it.
But there's another, and then in December, just to jump ahead real quick, on Christmas Day, a flick called 1917 is coming out, which is about two young soldiers in World War I, which is another, like, we don't get a lot of movies about World War I in the last 20 years, or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
We don't, there's not a lot of movies. You know, when HBO did Band of Brothers and then Flags of Our Fathers. I mean, those were took place about World War II.
Right.
A lot of World War II flicks happened. Not a ton of World War I flicks happened. I know maybe back in the 50s, 60s, 70s they did, but it's not anything I watched.
World War II really overshadows it for, it, you know, this later generation.
It really did. Yeah. So I'm actually looking forward to both of those.
Yeah. Me not being a big warm-up movie fan, I probably won't watch them, but you're excited.
November 20th, Downton Abbey, and the movie comes out.
My mom's thrilled.
My wife is super excited.
I think my mom may actually go to the movie theater for the first time. As long as I've known her.
My ex-father-in-law and I went to the movies. I think we went to go see the new Indiana Jones movies, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull or whatever.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. We went and saw something that he wanted to see. He wanted to see it, and we were talking about it. And before the movie started, he's like, yeah, I haven't been to the movies since blah, 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 came out in theaters, when it first came out in theaters. I remember I took June and this and that. I looked it up. It was like 1971 when that movie got released in theaters.
Is that Urban?
No, my ex-father-in-law.
Oh. Yeah. Junior, okay.
Yeah, Junior, yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about Urban. I'm like, no. I know he went to see Master and Commander
because
Urban likes boats.
He likes boats. So Urban went to the movies all the time. But no, like Junior, yeah. He hadn't been to the movies since like 1971.
Different strokes, I guess.
And I remember asking June, like, when's the last time June went to the movies to see if she would confirm? She's like, oh, geez. And she thought about, he took me to see blah, 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 blah. When that came out, because I wanted to watch it. Like, that was 1971. I don't know. I guess not going to the movies isn't for everyone, I realize. Yeah. But
I don't go nearly as often as I used to.
Dude, you used to go every fucking week.
Pretty much, two or three times a week. Yep, pretty much. And now I go maybe once a month, once every couple of months, depending on how I'm feeling.
I just went through a big rush where I went like 5-6 times in like the last couple of months. But I do want to go see Spider-Man when that comes out.
Yeah.
November 22nd, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Oh, the Tom Hanks
one. Hanks, yeah. Tom Hanks is Fred Rogers, Esquire journalist who's all surly and bitter apparently about life. Talks about how his life was transformed while he's doing an article on Mr. Rogers.
I believe that.
Did you see the still photos of Tom Hanks?
Mm-hmm. The outfit looks good. The rest of him...
It doesn't look like...
I know what Mr. Rogers looks like.
Yes, we all... I mean, we grew up on him, for crying out loud.
Tom Hanks is a wholesome person. He's not Mr. Rogers.
No, unfortunately, no.
You know? And I know Mr. Rogers is dead, but I don't know. Everything that I've seen, I'm like, oh, yeah, he's wearing the sweater. Oh, yeah, those are his shoes.
He's got gray hair. Okay. Yeah,
he's smiling.
He's at Mr. Rogers' house.
But, like, when Tom Hanks smiles, his eyes squint shut.
Mr. Rogers,
when he smiled, his eyes were wide. Because yeah. he looked like he was excited to see you. He was so happy you were there. Not that Tim Hanks guy, though.
I don't know. When you watch that video of Fred Rogers talking to Congress about funding public television, that's really who he is.
Yep. And it worked.
Yeah, well, kind of like Jon Stewart just talking to Congress about the 9/11. Like, that wasn't showboating. Mm-mm. That wasn't an act. That wasn't a put-on. That was him, and that was real emotion about how he felt about something.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing.
Yeah, because he basically has, you know, this is something that he feels truly passionate about.
Yeah.
So he speaks on it regularly versus, you know, any other celebrity who's just like, I showed up because, you know, I wanted to talk about what are we here for?
Right, and it's like Fred Rogers and, again, Jon Stewart, they went there because they wanted to go speak, as opposed to the majority of these people we see talking, they are subpoenaed there. They don't want to be there.
Right.
So they're giving non-answers or deflecting or whatever it is.
Yep. Jerks.
Yep. Did you hear about Knives Out?
I've heard the title. I haven't seen anything on it yet.
Directed by Ann Johnson.
Who? Ryan Johnson?
Ryan Johnson. Yep. Yeah, sorry. It's about two detectives investigating a murder. It's like a big whodunit murder mystery. The detectives are Daniel Craig and Lakeith Stanfield. Mm. And the other actors that are in it include Chris Evans, Jamie Lee Curtis, Don Johnson, Toni Collette, Christopher Plummer, Ricky Lindholm, Frank Oz.
What?
Yeah.
Is there a Muppet involved?
I was wondering the same thing, because Emmett Walsh is also in it.
Okay, now I want to see something on this.
Right?
Huh.
I don't know if you had seen anything else on it. I haven't really heard a whole lot.
Huh. What a wide range, like Toni Collette and Frank Oz?
Yeah.
What?
Chris Evans, Jamie Lee Curtis, Daniel Craig.
Did you say Ricky Lindholm?
Yeah.
Like different ends of the spectrum here.
Christopher Plummer.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a weird. And Ryan Johnson is directing.
Yeah. It's called Knives Out, Murder Mystery.
Huh. Is it supposed to be a comedy or a...
No, it's not.
Huh.
It's supposed to be like a thriller.
Interesting.
What was it? I told you Kane and I watched Scott Pilgrim versus the World the other day.
Yeah.
And it's weird seeing Chris Evans in there as a douche.
I know.
And then he tweeted the other day like an old headshot photo of his without sleeves or something. And his comment about himself was hilarious.
Do you realize that in that movie we had Captain America, Superman, and Captain Marvel?
Yeah, kind of crazy, right?
Yeah, and Superman and Captain Marvel were dating.
Yeah.
And technically, Thomas Jane was in there very briefly as the vegan police.
That's right, so we had the Punisher in there. Yeah.
Yep.
That's true. That was actually a really, really, really good flick.
It really was.
Aubrey Plaza was in there.
Yep.
And she was in Legion.
Yeah, it's true. Shadow King.
Yep. I watched this trailer today. I forgot to talk about it earlier. For a show called The Supervised, and it's about, like, Tom Berenger plays, like, an old retired superhero who is now living in a retirement home with all the other old retired superheroes who still have their powers, but they're old.
Interesting.
It looks a little different and weird.
Yeah?
Obviously,
I'm looking forward to The Boys, honestly.
Oh, good. I didn't know you were.
Oh, God, yeah. I really want to see The
Boys. Did you read the comics?
I did not.
I did read all the comics. It's Garth Ennis... if they follow his story, which I'm sure they will, actually, it's going to be good and graphic.
I saw an extended, it wasn't a preview, but it was like one scene out of there.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Carl Urban, like, walking down the street,
going
over to the newspaper kiosk. Carl Urban is just so fucking badass.
When I found out he got cast as whatever, as the lead there, I can't think of the character's name, I was very excited because... Hey, I love him as Bones in the Star Trek movies.
Yeah.
Absolutely love him as Bones. And he was excellent as Judge Dredd.
See, I've never watched his version of Judge
Dredd. Oh, it's good. You need to watch it.
Just called Dredd, right?
Just Dredd, yeah. It's actually really, really good. Like,
yeah, it'll look good.
Better than the Stallone version by far.
Well.
My only issue with it was like they watched the movie The Raid Redemption and said, hey, let's do the same thing. No one saw that movie. They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, December 20th, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker.
I haven't heard of that one.
Okay. Well, it's a space opera.
Indie film?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's the ninth film in the... Well, no, it's the more than that. But it's the ninth film in this saga.
The Skywalker Legacy.
Yeah. Oh, well, so you know a little bit about it.
I've seen some headlines here and there.
Oh, okay.
Just little stuff, yeah.
So before you came over, I just saw that Blumhouse has announced that they're remaking Black Christmas.
Why?
They want to.
I mean, Jason Blum, good guy, but some of his decisions lately have been a little weird.
Mm.
Why are you remaking Saw?
With Chris Rock? I don't know. The movie is slated to come out December 13th. It stars Imogen Poots or whatever.
Imogen Poots?
Sure.
You said it earlier.
Right? I know I did. Black Christmas, the original, came out in 1974. And then James Wan kind of did a loose remake of it in 2006. And this is supposed to be more in spirit with the 1974 version, but also more with the final girl's aspect if they fight back. However, that's just all speculation because it hasn't started filming yet, even though the release date's in 6 months. They start filming in New Zealand soon. You know what, though? I bet you they'll make it.
Maybe. I don't know, man.
So that's kind of the movies and TV shows I'm sort of looking forward to coming up.
I saw some good renewal information.
Fire away, sir.
Love, Death, and Robots has gotten a second season.
Oh, nice.
That's going to be kind of cool. I like the format of the first season.
I was going to say, yeah, I liked how it mixed it up between the shorter and the longer episodes, a different style of animation, kind of different story.
Different order for different people.
Yeah.
Russian Doll got renewed for a second season.
Is that the one with...
Natasha Lyonne?
Yeah.
Where she's living in the time loop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm not sure how they're going to do it.
That actually surprises me they got renewed for a second season.
It seemed like it was supposed to be self-contained.
Yeah, it really did.
I'm not sure if they'll do different people, or if it's going to be her again and him again, or what, but I'll check it out.
Yeah.
I didn't like it the first time I watched it. I thought that it was too odd for me, but I was watching it in the background. When I sat down and watched it and paid attention, I really liked it.
Nice.
It's definitely the type of thing you got to focus on.
Yes.
And then I saw a report, Gina Davis is coming to season 3 of GLOW.
Yeah.
As the hotel's entertainment producer. She's like a retired dancer or maybe, entertainer herself.
Well, I mean, they did. GLOW legitimately went from California to Vegas for filming back in the day.
And they seem to be trying to follow it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So she's probably playing some character who was instrumental in the...
It's a fun show. Well, what?
Nothing. Yeah, I enjoyed it. The second season got dark.
Yeah.
Betty Gilpin's character kind of going nuts and breaking her ankle. Yeah.
Well, she got hooked on the drugs.
The drugs. The nose candy.
Yeah, the drugs. It's 1980s, man. Just say no.
Yeah.
Nancy Reagan style.
That's right. Dare.
Dare to make a...
Different dare. Yeah.
Is that it?
Well, for news items, yeah.
Did you hear about Spielberg After Dark?
I saw something that said that he was going to make a horror movie or a horror show that you could only stream at night.
Yes. So, okay, it's going to be a TV series, and you literally can only watch it after dark. It's going to be on the new mobile-only streaming platform, Quibi.
What?
Yeah, Q-I-B-I, Quibi.
So already I'm lost because I don't have that.
Well,
I don't even know where I'd get it.
Well, it's new. I don't even think it's launched yet. It will use, the timestamp on your phone or device to determine that the sun has set in your area before it'll allow you to watch an episode.
Which means people are just going to, trick their stuff. It's like... They've got some video games out there that have time workarounds like that. Now, one of the Batman games, Calendar Man, is in a cell.
Yep.
And if you go to him like on Christmas Day, then he talks to you about Christmas. And if you go to him on Easter, so people would just set the internal clock on their PlayStation and then go talk to him. And he'd be like, oh, it's Easter, blah, blah, blah. So people are just going to do that, which is too bad because I like the concept.
Right.
I would love to see something
like that. It's kind of neat. You know, like, it is kind of neat. It's different. It's original. I mean, it's kind of what you got to... Everything has been done, it seems like. You know? So I guess you kind of got to do something to stand out or be different.
Yeah. I like it. You know, I would rather see more unique, original stuff. Like Bandersnatch. Bandersnatch should have been Bandersnatch, and that was it.
Yeah.
Instead, they were like, oh, you did such a good job with Bandersnatch. Why don't you take over the next three episodes of the entire season?
That guy wrote every episode so far, including Bandersnatch. So, I mean, I don't understand it.
Jerk face.
Yeah. Like, I'm just, you know what? Bandersnatch was so awesome. Fuck it. I just got to put a season out there. Let me write some drivel.
Yeah.
We'll call it good enough. People will watch it. Don't worry. They'll come back.
What if TV, but more? Yeah, that'll be it. That's the hook. What does that even fucking mean? Think about it.
TV,
but more. Yeah, it's Netflix. Right. But more.
We'll air it on Netflix.
Holy shit, you're a douche. So what else you got?
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wasn't it an overly big week? Well, I kept looking for news stuff.
I literally sat last night at work looking for stuff to talk about today.
But again, it's been like 3 days.
Yeah. And I had to do some schoolwork and
yeah.
I don't know.
I had work.
Work.
What can you expect from us, people?
I got day shift. Like, I've been doing day shift training. That's different. I've been sleeping at night, not during the day.
Yeah.
I don't know. My world's been flip-flopped upside down.
Are you moving to Philadelphia? Or Beverly Hills?
No, I'm good. Okay. My wife saw that on June 30th, July 1st. And I'm off both nights, but July 1st is the night we'd be going. She wants to go to the Bridgeport Drive-In for a double feature of Grease and Dirty Dancing.
Bridgeport where?
Bridgeport, Maine. Oh, sorry, Bridgeton, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. Bridgeport? The Bridgeton Twin Drive-In.
Hmm.
I like going to the drive-in.
I wasn't asking because I wanted to go there as well.
No. It's because Bridgeport doesn't exist in Maine. I know,
yeah.
I think the closest one's Connecticut.
So, Grease and...
Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
Wow. So, wow.
I like both movies.
I mean, I don't dislike either one of them, but I don't like either one of them enough to drive that far and sit there and watch them when I could watch them on my TV.
I'm nodding my head slowly, sorry. I get what you're saying. But well, the wife wants to go.
Yeah.
I like going to the drive-in.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to go.
No, I'm definitely not like telling you, oh, you're stupid for doing this. Just
right.
For me, that'd be a pass. I guess maybe if I was dating someone and they said, oh, I'd like to go see this, and I knew that it meant a lot to them, then I'd be like, sure.
Well, it was like October 2017. I took her down to Pride's Corner for the double feature of Halloween 1978, Nightmare on Elm Street 1984. She went with me to watch that. She'd never seen either one of them.
And never wants to see them again, I'm sure.
Pretty much, yeah. But still, she went.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin Chrissy was such in love with Dirty Dancing. It was absurd. And Grease, actually. It was so absurd. I saw them both so many times, especially Dirty Dancing.
Chrissy and who?
Huh? My cousin Chrissy.
Yeah, and who? You said I saw them both so many times.
Grease and Dirty Dancing.
Oh.
She liked them both. And, like, as kids, she always wanted to watch those. I mean, granted, I always wanted to watch Predator and RoboCop, but still. Compromise. And then my coworker Nicole loves Dirty Dancing. Like,
I remember that.
Okay, yeah. Like, she was when, like, when she...
Roz?
Huh?
Roz?
Yeah. When she's working, like, half a night shift and she comes in at 3 a.m., what's Dirty Dancing on? I've listened to that movie at work probably 100 times, it seems like.
I don't get that. It's like when people talk about, and I know you get this as well, you know, oh, you're a big movie guy.
Yeah.
What's your favorite movie?
I can't answer that.
I can't either. Now, Nicole would probably say Dirty Dancing,
yes.
No question. You know? People are like, my mom would probably either say The Sound of Music or The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
You know, some people, that's just it, you know, they have a favorite. I can't say that, you know?
Like, if you would ask my wife what her favorite TV show is, she would, Friends and Gilmore Girls. That would be like a one-answer thing for her. That's it. Yeah. I don't even know if I can do that with a TV show.
No.
You know, like...
It depends on what I'm looking at. Like, Person of Interest is probably in my top 10.
Oh, absolutely.
But Person of Interest is also a suspenseful action drama, you know, whereas I would also throw Scrubs in there, which is a half-hour comedy.
Yeah.
You know?
Same thing with How I Met Your Mother. That's in my top 10.
I don't know if that's in my top 10 anymore, just because...
The way it ended, you pissed you off that much?
Well, not just that, but it's been on TV so much that I'm kind of oversaturated with it, so now when I look at some of the episodes, I'm like, wow, these guys are really self-absorbed dicks. When you really think about it, like, so I've kind of been overly... See, I Met Your Mother.
Now, by not watching normal, everyday TV, I get away from that syndication saturation that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I guess the exception to that would be every night at 7 o'clock, The Big Bang Theory is on Fox 23.
It's the same kind of thing.
And sometimes we don't want to, like, we can't decide what we want to watch, so we just put it on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we only, you know.
And after a while, I'm sure you'll burn out on it.
Probably.
Because you'll be like, wow, I can't take any more of this.
Lately when someone says, oh, what's your favorite movie? I just say Evil Dead.
And then do you use it as a litmus test? Like, do you wait for them to ask you Evil Dead 1, Evil Dead 2?
Yeah.
Even knowing that the two of them are essentially the same movie, but one was made seriously, one was made as a joke.
Did you watch Ash vs. Evil Dead? Which we still have to watch season 3.
Mm. It's on Netflix now.
I know it is. I saw that. But for me, it's sometimes like, if I'm talking to someone like you who I know likes movies and knows movies or whatever, I can't just say, oh, it's this. Because, again, like, I can't pick one. I have different – favorite movies of different genres, but there's just too many movies I like. It's like asking who my favorite
wrestler is. You're a Star Wars guy.
Oh, yeah.
I like Star Wars a lot, yes. I have a lot of memorabilia.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that my life revolves around Star Wars.
Also, I'm not like, oh, I love Star Trek, but not Star Wars, or Star Wars, but not Star Trek.
Right. I love Star Trek. I don't have any phasers. I don't have any action figures.
Right.
But I still really enjoy it.
I appreciate good science fiction television. I appreciate good space movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know? What was that one? It was like 3 or 6 episodes or something like that. It was... I saw it on Netflix, I think. And... these people are like, you think they're on this big ship in outer space, but it turns out they're like underground.
Someone out there is yelling. Probably a couple of someone's.
Yeah, like, probably. Yeah, it was excellent.
Hmm.
But just like, I loved Battlestar Galactica. I haven't gone back and rewatched the whole thing yet. I don't have any Battlestar memorabilia.
Right.
You know, but at the same time, like.
I can carry on a conversation with somebody about it and talk about how much I loved it.
Absolutely. But yeah, I can't just pick one favorite movie. Like, my favorite, like, I love Evil Dead. That's a fantastic flick. But I love Evil Dead just as much as I love The Princess Bride.
Right. But then you've got different classifications, too. Not just the genres.
Yeah.
But, like, you might have a favorite movie like The Shawshank Redemption. You know? The type of movie that you could just throw in the background and just absolutely love it without having to pay attention to
it.
Or The Evil Dead, which you may not watch it that often, but it holds a special place in your heart.
Yes.
Or there's the guilty pleasure movies. Bulletproof Monk is a guilty pleasure movie for me. It's a terrible movie.
It's a good flick.
It's awesome. I love it. It was awful. It was panned. It was critically awful. It's got Sean William Scott and Jamie King and Chow Yun-Fat. And it's terrible.
Yeah.
And I love it. Victoria Smurfit. Oh.
I go through phases where... I want to watch everything Jackie Chan again.
Yeah.
Because I love Jackie Chan.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really, except for when his new movies come out and I can watch him, I haven't rewatched a lot of his older stuff. Last summer, my son and I, Kanan and I, he was 12 then, we watched like Rumble in the Bronx, Operation Condor 2, you know, Armor of God. We watched Police Story, watched all those flicks like that. And he loved them, you know, Shanghai Nights, Rush Hours, you know, Shanghai Noon, everything like that. They were all great.
The Spy Next Door?
Nope. But lately, the movie I kind of like to put on a lot and watch, and again, kind of like I just pay attention to certain scenes mostly, is John Wick. I love the gunplay in that movie. Fucking love the gunplay in that movie.
I especially love Gumball in the second one, honestly. The way that he double taps. Yeah. Holding that gun right up close. Because remember, that was about the time that we had been complaining about Clay on Lethal Weapon, the TV series.
Yes.
Why does he always hold his gun up like that? And then John Wick 2 comes out, and he's holding it up the same way. You know, one in the gut, one in the head. One in the gut, one in the head. Loved it.
Just like the first Taken was amazing. The second two I can do without. Two and three.
Three was god awful.
Yeah, it was.
It was edited for and it didn't need to be edited.
They took a rated R flick and edited it to PG-13 to get a wider audience. Like when the guy got shot with the shotgun and his just like jacket explodes, but no blood, no nothing, just white.
Or how mom's throat was cut, but you know, it was just like a red line drawn on her.
Yeah.
Or you could visibly see the guy mouthing the word fuck.
Yeah.
And it said like frig.
Yeah. Or, no, not even that. It was like fool or something.
It was badly dubbed. It was like watching it on AMC or something.
Yeah. No, fuck, on AMC they just say fuck. But I don't know. I can't just answer one.
Yeah, and I think that's the right answer, for me at least. Again, litmus test. You know, if I ask somebody, you know, if they're like, oh, what's your favorite movie? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, what's yours? And they go, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right. You know.
That's what I'm dealing with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, it's not that they're a bad person. It's not that they're wrong. It's just, okay, so in their life, they've managed to, you know, limit things and say, this is my favorite movie. This is my favorite TV show.
Yeah.
You know, and good for them for being able to limit it down that much, I guess. But
like, I was reading Mick Foley. His first book came out called Have a Nice Day, in like 99, I think, or 2000 it came out. It's like 400 and something pages.
Mm-hmm.
And it made the New York Times bestseller list. It made number one. But again, it wasn't on there very long. And he talks about it in either a second or third book. And it has to do with the fact, like, when you go, like, say you want to go read a book, but you know what you want to read. And you look at, like, Have a Nice Day or any other book that's 500 pages. That's a daunting task to pick up and thumb through.
Mm-hmm.
Then you look at, like, Tuesdays with Maury that was on, like, the New York Times bestseller list for, like, 150 weeks or whatever it was. It's like 80 pages. It's not threatening.
Right.
You know? And I think that has a lot to do with, like, I love The X-Files. But it's over 200 episodes in 11 seasons now. Like, in two movies.
That's when I say, hey, Fleabag's really good, and it's 12 episodes, 25 minutes each.
Yeah.
That's not threatening.
Exactly. Like, oh, I'll chuck it out.
Yep.
So it was like, to go back and watch, like, Battlestar or X-Files or something of that nature, you know, it's like, oh, well, do I want to dedicate, you know, 240 hours or whatever, over 200 hours to watching this show, as much as I love it? It's almost kind of like, no, I want to watch the best of. I want to watch its greatest hits.
That's
as opposed to Firefly, which is 13 episodes in a movie.
Right.
Not daunting. You know, you're only dedicating 15 hours.
Yep. It's the same way with me in video games.
Yep.
I'll do that a lot of times. Like, I'll pick up a game like God of War, and I loved it. And I'm like, it's 80 hours to play through.
Oof.
And I'll look at that, and I'll be like, do I really want to dedicate another 80 hours? I've already played through it once. Do I really want to do that? Or do I just want to go play Borderlands for an hour or so and just chillax? So it's the same kind of thing, you know? There's certain things that you can love it, but it's too daunting to go back through and relive all of it.
It's my comparison to that first going to be, because I don't play video games like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to playing, do I want to play Super Mario Brothers and have mindless fun for an hour? Or do I want to play Zelda and get really fucking frustrated and spend 5 weeks and trying to find every little thing? And
which Zelda?
the first one. You know what I mean? On Nintendo.
Right.
But you're right. Yeah, it goes that for all of them. But, you know, like that's kind of my comparison to that.
And that's exactly what it is, you know? Strangely enough, I was just thinking of this. What we were just talking about with, you know, favorite movies and stuff. I've played games since the Intellivision. You know, games are my life, like wrestling is your life. And I've loved a lot of games. I've got some favorites in there, but I have an absolute favorite. Like, strangely enough, with TV shows and movies, I'd say, oh, I can't. Yeah. But with games, Chrono Trigger, number one.
Really?
Best game I've ever played.
When did that come out?
Absolute favorite. 1994, I believe. Super Nintendo.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, Jesus, it's been redone like a million times. That's who's on the back of my phone.
Okay.
But, yeah, I can honestly say, like, if people ask me, hands down, boom, Chrono Trigger, favorite game ever. And then, like I said, I've got others that I love.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, I guess I can be of two minds with the movies thing. You know, like I said, they're not. It's not that a person is bad if they go, oh, this is my favorite movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously something that means a lot to them. But, you know, when it comes to movies and TV, it's just so broad that I can't nail them down.
I feel the same way, like, when it comes to wrestling. Like, people always like, oh, yo, who's your favorite wrestler? Oh, Jesus, don't ask me that question. You know, for the longest time, it was Ric Flair. Mm-hmm. But it's not – and I still love Ric Flair. He doesn't wrestle anymore.
Right.
To say who I like now active, it's hard because, like, for instance, you know, like, Anthony Green – I'm a big fan of his. He's on the independent scene. He's starting to make some waves for himself. He's entertaining every time I see him. He's got an awesome gimmick, you know. Who? Because he's not in the WWE, or he's not in NWA, or New Japan Pro Wrestling, or he's not mainstream, if you will.
Right.
But he's making huge waves on the independent scene, and I'm loving him. It's like someone who knows who plays for, like, a minor league baseball club,
mm-hmm.
you know. But for me, like, when people ask me, oh, geez, what's your favorite match? I don't know if I have a favorite match, but I can give you a list of matches that have stood the test of time that I absolutely love that I've watched time and time again.
Right.
Starrcade 1986, I Quit Steel Cage Match for the U.S. title, Tully Blanchard versus Magnum T.E. That probably is my favorite match.
Hmm.
If I had to, you know, if I had to pick one, that match is 33 years old now, and I can still watch that, or I can show it to someone who's never watched wrestling and watch this match from 1986. And they could be like, holy shit, people call this fake? You know, like, no.
Right.
And then most recently, as of 4 years ago, I think it was now, Shinsuke Nakamura against Sami Zayn, Nakamura's debut in NXT, the match they had the WrestleMania weekend. Unbelievably great match. Royal Rumble 1992 is the best Royal Rumble there's ever been. And SummerSlam 2002, top to bottom, is WWE's greatest pay-per-view they've ever done. But there's way too much I like to say, like, to I can't quantify.
Right.
It's all good.
Yeah. By the way, March 11th, 1995 was when Chrono Trigger came out. So it's, well,
like, it's called
years.
Chrono Trigger. Is it a shooting game?
No. No, it's an RPG.
Okay.
It's an RPG that deals with time travel. It was on the
stills?
Super Nintendo. It was
okay, I have seen that case. I have seen that case thing.
It was breathtaking because it actually was one of the first games that I ever played that had multiple endings. You could actually finish this game the shittiest way possible. The bad guy could win, take over the world. There were like a dozen different endings depending on what you did. And they weren't like, oh, well, in this one, this girl lives and this girl dies. Like, they changed the scope of the entire world. So, and it had real time travel mechanics, you know, going back to the year 600, dropping off a robot and having him replant a forest and then coming back 400 years later and finding him deactivated. But the forest has grown, you know, because it's been 400 years. It was just, it blew my mind. It was absolutely phenomenal.
Can you still play the game?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they've redone it on a bunch of different systems. You could buy it on your phone right now if you wanted to.
But, I mean, like, is it the same version as that Super Nintendo version? Or have they made, like, you know, like Final Fantasy 12 or
yep. nope.
you know, Mortal Kombat 11 just came out or whatever
Chrono
it is.
Chrono Trigger. If you bought Chrono Trigger on your phone right now, you would be playing the same game that I played in 1995 and fell in love with.
How long did it take you? If you sit down and play it now, or if someone who's never played it before, how much time would it
take? Oh, it's probably, if you do it the right way, it's probably, I'd say, 50, 60 hours. Yeah.
It's actually not that bad.
No. Not for an RPG.
You know, the 80s are back, right? Like, it's kind of crazy.
It's astounding.
People's style, clothing and shit.
Mm-hmm.
My 13-year-old, him and his friends, that's how they kind of dress.
Yeah.
Just kind of crazy.
And but it's tensions with Russia and Iran.
Right.
And new Coke is coming out.
I got some coming.
Yeah. So, yeah, the 80s are back.
Did you see, this is so stupid, Whopper, Burger King's releasing the upside-down Whopper.
I'm like,
it's
so what are they going to do,
just
cook it and just flip it over?
Well, I thought, like, oh, are they going to have, like, the way I thought of it, because right now when you have a Whopper, you have, on a burger bun, you have the crown, which is the top of the sesame seeds, and you have the base, so you put the burger on the base, and mayonnaise and the lettuce goes on the crown. I thought, are they legit going to put, like, the burgers on the crown, and then everything else is there, so it, no, and they had it's just flipped upside down.
Pretty genius, if you think about it.
It really is. I mean, if they made it in reverse order, it would be kind of like, oh, okay, all the condiments are on the bottom. And
right.
That is kind of, oops.
Or like, put the buns on the inside and then everything else squishes it.
It'd
like
messy.
It would be messy. It'd be really messy.
You have to have a fork and knife or something.
Yeah, like the McDLT.
Okay, the McDLT.
The hot stays hot and the cold stays cold.
And you take it and you fold it together. And then when you take the lid back, shit's everywhere.
Yep.
You folded it together.
And it's a styrofoam container, yeah. So you get that.
The McBLT. Or Mc, was it McDLT? Yes.
It was a BLT, though.
It most certainly was.
Oh, jeez. Good times.
Good times indeed. Well, let's see. Ouch. Oh, we'll call it a show. I just punched the fan.
Yeah, you punched the fan, so that's what you get for being a fan around here.
Anyhow.
You're the one with dad jokes. That's you're supposed to be. You're the dad.
Oh, want
to
hear a good dad joke?
Okay.
Okay. So I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden my wife yells, "You're not even listening to me." And I thought to myself, that's a weird way to start a conversation. Oh, come on. That's really good. Did you see the, I shared it on my Twitter. If you go back and look at my feed, did you see the guy punching the kangaroo, that video that's going around?
No.
You have to watch the guy punching the kangaroo. I'll show it to you when this is over.
It's okay.
Absolutely hilarious.
Okay.
All right. Go look at my feed, Superstar Mal. Watch the guy punch the kangaroo in the face. Oh my God. Hold on before we go. So last night I'm at work.
You still haven't even signed off.
Yet, I know. So. Last night, I'm Superstar Mal on Twitter. Last night at work, I get a call from a lady. I saw this baby deer, this fawn, and I didn't see its mother around, so I went to approach it, and it ran away from me. Yeah, that seems normal, man. That's what they do. You don't just stay away from it. Well, so I went at it again, and it fell off the cliff into the ocean. I went, it was down in York. And I go, okay, so you killed it. Well, I mean, I'm pretty concerned about it. I mean, I don't see it anymore because it's dead. Well, I mean, can you get a warden out here to look around for him? No, they're not going to come out there.
No.
She chased a deer into the ocean. Like,
I still remember the woman that called me up and said that her car plowed into a deer.
Yes.
And it was laying on the side of the road and it was still alive, but, you know, it wasn't really moving. And she said, so can you get somebody to come out here and rehabilitate it? What? For those of you who aren't listening in an area where deer are populated, like,
yeah.
Deer are beautiful creatures, but basically in Maine, they're speed bumps.
The population is so huge that it's a hindrance, and they're big.
Yeah.
Like, deer in Pennsylvania, New York are tiny. People hit a deer, they keep driving.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like, my brother tells me all the time, like, you'll see dead deer all the time. But they're small. That's why people come to Maine to hunt them, because the deer over there are very small, as opposed to the deer here that are freaking huge.
Yeah. Or the moose here.
Or the moose.
Wreck cruisers.
That, you know, kill people when you hit them.
Yeah.
Because some of them are bigger than horses. Most of them are. Yeah, so she chased a deer into the ocean.
I hope she's sleeping like shit.
But I told one of the officers, and he's like, they got to be able to charge her with something. Well, see, he wasn't from Maine, so he didn't know that Maine, it's not illegal to harass wildlife.
Yeah.
Where he's from, it's illegal to harass wildlife.
Where's he from?
Southern somewhere. I don't remember.
Mexico?
Non-Maine state.
Okay.
You know. Huh. You mean y'all can harass wildlife up here? Yeah, we can.
Yeah, because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
We don't have a choice sometimes.
No.
Like looking out in my front yard and seeing my bird feeders, you know, where the birds throw the shells down of the black oil sunflower seeds.
Yeah.
There's a skunk who's eating some of it.
Yeah.
Because there's a raccoon standing on the well, pulling the seed out and throwing it down to the skunk. You think I'm not going to harass those motherfuckers? I mean, kudos to them for the teamwork.
The teamwork,
but Jesus Christ. Get out my yard.
It's like the people, like, there's this bear on my porch and he's tearing through my trash cans. Well, he's hungry.
Yeah.
You come scare him away? When he's done eating, he'll leave.
Yeah.
Well, I can't go outside.
Have you seen the size of him, lady?
Yeah.
Who among us do you think is going to come scare this guy?
Well, I can't go outside. I wouldn't if I were you.
Yeah. Man, that's the smartest thing you've said all day.
Or like, oh, it's getting my bird feeder. Yeah, well, when it leaves, take your bird feeders in for a couple weeks. They'll stop coming around. Well, what are the birds going to do? They'll make it.
Yeah.
Because if you keep leaving the bird seed out, the bears are going to keep coming back.
Do you think that just because you put a bird feeder out, that, like, those are the only birds that live in that radius? Like, every other bird on the planet dies because they don't have your seed out? just doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. People. he's the quantum
G33K.
Yeah.
Talk to you next week.